we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one right here, y'all. I mean, Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're gonna jump on something. I love doing this. Every week we get together with some friends who help make this show successful, and I like to call this segment Butters and Lee. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right, let me check and make sure they're there. I did the whoop-whoops before I even called their name. So, Lee from Huntsville, are you on the line?
I'm here.
You are indeed. We're glad of it. And then we got the Butterman. Are you on the line?
I am here.
You are indeed. All right, here we go. Round one of Butters and Lee is where I ask them questions. Round two is where they ask me questions. So here's my, I'm going to go politics first, you guys. So the Teamsters, you may be trying, I hope you're tracking the story because I'm asking you about it. The Teamsters, the big Teamsters union, they came out and chose not to endorse any candidate for president. This is like unheard of. It's been decades since they've done anything except have an obligatory endorsement of any Democrat. So the Teamsters just came out yesterday and decided not to endorse anyone for the presidential race. So my question to you is the Democratic base unraveling here? Or if that matter, is this even going to make a difference in the big picture? Lee, you first.
It's definitely a blow to Democrats, absolutely, because because they're saying, well, we're not going to endorse anyone. That's a de facto endorsement of Trump. I don't care what they say, because they've endorsed Democrats for 30 years or more.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's a huge blow, especially to Kamala Harris. It makes her look incapable of securing nominations, which she is. I mean, not nominations, but, approval from all these different, you're talking about Teamsters. It's a union. That's a Democrat thing. But I will say this, we kind of had an inkling of this when the one of the head of the Teamsters spoke at the Republican convention. So,
yeah.
You know, we kind of knew that they were not thrilled with what was going on here with the Democrats. I don't think they were thrilled with either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. But so, yes, I think it is a big deal, and I think it will they mentioned that the reason they didn't is because at least 50% of their members were not in favor of supporting Kamala Harris. That's huge.
Yeah, it was actually, I think it was 58% is what they polled.
Yeah, a lot.
All right, so you think that it's a blow to the Democrats? You think it does matter in terms of the politics right now?
Yes, because it shows the polling away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Butterman, what do you think?
Well, so I think the big picture first, I think it really speaks to how far left the Democrats are moving everything to drag the Teamsters to be, I guess we'll just call them in the middle at this point. That seems like a good sign for just normal everyday Americans finally going, this is crazy. What are we doing here? I don't know that I'd say the base is necessarily unraveling for the Democrats. I think their base is just getting wackier and crazier, if that makes any sense.
That makes a lot of sense, but it's actually true. I think one of the things that I saw up on the screen today in studio while I was, getting ready for the show, was that same guy who spoke at the Sean Fain, I think that was it, I forgot what his
yeah.
name was. Anyway, the guy from the Teamsters who spoke at the Republican National Convention, he actually said they have taken our vote for granted for years. And we've been saying that about the black vote or the Hispanic vote, that they have been taken for granted for years. Somebody finally said it back. I think that's significant. And I remember too how frustrating it was when I was running for office, and the local steelworkers were the big union in my part of the district. So steelworkers, I didn't even bother. They weren't going to endorse me because I was a Republican, and yet their rank and file membership would tell me constantly, "We don't care what they say, we're voting for you," because the rank and file is really where it's at. So yeah, I agree with you.
It shows a shift.
It does.
It shows a shift of blue collar workers from Democrats, which has always championed this, or, you know, pretended they were a champion of blue collar. You've seen a shift from blue collar to Republican.
And here's something else too. Charlene told me this morning, I didn't know this, but apparently what they are losing, the Democrats are losing here, is the Teamsters did a huge get out the vote effort that they won't do this year now. And that was a big piece in some of the union heavy states like Pennsylvania. So we'll see.
They'll just cover it with fake ballots.
They'll head to the graveyard.
No big deal. I do wonder if what we're seeing out of folks like RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and others that are kind of defecting, and the stories they're telling and what they're saying, if that isn't really, really bleeding over.
All right. Before we run out of time, then let's do question numero dos. All right. So I don't know if you saw it or not, but Trump was on Gutfeld last night. Now, if this was Kamala going on like The View, I would have said, puff piece, come on, do something hard. But he does hard every day. So I'll be honest with you, it was kind of fun to watch him sit there and just joke and have a good time. And there were several questions. I mean, there were some serious questions mixed in. But there was a lot of joking, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of just, it's neat to see his sense of humor. But then one of them asked him, it's Kat Timpf, said, before we go, I got to ask a question. She said, Area 51, are there aliens there? And he was like caught off guard, but he comes back and he goes, I can't say what I do or don't know about Area 51. He said, but I will tell you, he said, I have interviewed a number of military aviators who he says told him that they had no explanation for objects that flew past them at times that could not be explained. Like one of them, he said, sir, it was going four times faster than my F-22. So here's my question for you. Area 51, he said that last night. What are your thoughts? And since you're an aviator guy, I'm asking Butters first.
Well, so one of the, I actually know a number of the folks that have testified, or at least have worked around them. One of the female aviators that's wrapped up in a lot of this, that's actually publicly talked about it. I did a course with her way back in the day in the Navy. And so these are normal people, and I don't think they'd come out and say some of these things. They're just not making stuff up. I never personally got to say anything, but I didn't have all the fancy whiz bang sensors that they do. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. If the aliens are coming back with the way this year is going, they're coming back, or they're coming to see us before the end of the year.
Oh, have mercy. I didn't expect that last closing comment. All right, Lee, your thoughts. Area 51, Trump said that. What are your thoughts?
I think it's silly and arrogant to think we're the only life in the universe. Come on. I'm sure there are other beings out there. They're not really making contact, truly. They might just be observing. I don't know. But I just think if they're there, they haven't caused us harm. So, well, whatever. And if they can make it all the way here, they're way more advanced than we are. So I'm just like, just don't hurt us. I think it's probably true. We've seen it. Like, the government has basically admitted. It's been such an insane couple of years. They're like, yeah, aliens are real. And everybody's just like, okay, we thought so. Went on about their business. I mean, been nuts that people haven't reacted more to this, but I think most people understand that, and we've seen the videos from that have been released from some of these pilots. Obvious, these things are moving in ways that defies physics. So something's going on,
and I just can't help but think that every president who gets into office, and Trump even said he gets asked that question more than anything else he's asked. I mean, it's not the economy. It's not, you know, energy policy. It's not, you know, safe schools. It's like, hey, Mr. President, Area 51. Everybody wants to know, what's at Area 50? Do they really have aliens there? All I know is, you got like Butter said, you got rational people who were trained to do incredible things like piloting, you know, military aircraft, and they're all saying, or some are saying, I can't explain what I just saw. Listen, there's more to this story is all I know.
It is definitely interesting. The F-117 program, they were able to keep under wraps. You know, it was a lot easier to keep these programs under wraps, back before social media. And, you know, so it is curious, the concept that, you know, it's somebody else's kit or our own. And we, you know, that'd be really, really tough to pull off these days, I think.
It would. But if they have the technology to get here in the first place, I'm just saying.
Well, okay. I'm just saying if it's our stuff. So it brings up a lot of, there's a lot of folks in the physics world that are talking about kind of how we're falling short on the development of physics and our understanding of physics. But that's a whole other conversation.
But back to my...
They're doing a lot of stuff we don't know about. They're doing a lot of experimentation we have no idea about. They're doing dimensional travel experimentation. They're doing a lot of stuff.
Oh, dimensional travel. Lord, she just opened a whole new can of worms. Now the space-time continuum is being hit by the flux capacitor and stuff. All right, we're taking a break right now. We take the break. That was round one with Butters and Lee. Area 51. I don't know. All right, we'll come right back. This is where we flip the script, and they ask me questions, and I just hold my breath and wait to see what they ask. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you could slap on a bumper sticker. Let me just jump on to round two with Butters and Lee. This is the part where they ask me questions, and I'm just hoping that it's something I know something about. So, Lee, you first. What do you got?
So the FBI finally revealed, even though the Trump campaign talked about this in August, that they were hacked and that information ended up in media's hands that shouldn't have been.
The FBI was hacked or the Trump's campaign was hacked?
Oh, the Trump's campaign was hacked.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now the FBI has released that, yes, Iranian hackers hacked Trump's campaign texts and emails and these things, private information. And released it to the Biden-Harris campaign.
Oh.
And but Harris claims they're also victims. I'm not sure how. And they don't reveal how that information then ultimately got to the press. It's a mystery. It's insane right now the way news is. We're asked to process news. It's just faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. This is something that would have literally derailed a presidential an entire presidential campaign. 15, 20 years ago. And now everybody's like, well, it's no big deal. No need to look at that.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it and there's a variety of angles here. Number one, first of all, the Harris campaign has denied that they ever responded to the emails, but apparently they were getting unsolicited offers for non-public information. And we don't know exactly what the information was that was hacked out of the Trump campaign. All we know is they thought it was good enough that maybe the Dems would want it. And I look at that, and you're right. It's a foreign government. Whatever happened to Russia, Russia, Russia. So what we have now is Iran trying to help the Harris campaign. But if it had been Russia trying to help the Trump campaign, well, then that had been a whole new day. I mean, I think we'd be having, you know, calls for congressional hearings and you know, the ladies on The View would be up in arms and, you know, Whoopi Goldberg having a new aneurysm. The reality is this is Iran, which has been fed all kinds of money by weak policies of the Biden-Harris administration. And now they're offering help after they hacked the Trump campaign and nobody wants to say boo about it. It's really kind of nauseating.
This is a state sponsor of terror around the world.
That's exactly right.
Giving you and being your BFF here. I think people need to question who, you know,
or
why
is
their
it
friends.
Private money that was given to the Iranians to do said acts, and in which case, I'm sure they're not going to turn down a billionaire if he shows up and says, let me give you a few bucks.
You talking about like a Soros funding kind of opportunity?
Exactly.
I'm not going to be a bit surprised. That guy is so determined to take down the United States using his billions. It's like nothing I've ever seen. But anyway, the bottom line is, to answer your question, though, Lee, if it was a question, really, is just I'm aware of it. I think it's awful. I think you're right. I think this would have been a complete, come apart in the media just 15 years ago. But now it's like, what just happened? Oh, meh. Move on.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Oh, it was Iran trying to help a Democrat? Yeah, move on.
We are kind of going, second assassination attempt, move on.
Well, you know, so. I made a point yesterday that cannot be, we cannot allow that to become the thing. We cannot let ourselves get conditioned to these things because this is not normal. None of this is normal.
Well, it's 1984. Let's just memory hole everything we don't like.
Yeah, using Newspeak. It'll be great. All right, Butterman, what you got for me?
All right, so something to dive deep into.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe not. The Titanic. I'm seeing some articles popping up, the first images of the Titan submersible. Have you seen any of this?
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, and I, with all due respect to the lives that were lost and obviously the families that are involved, and I have deepest sympathies, I didn't realize we had some giant investigation going on to the point that we're spending the money, somebody is, to get submersibles down and I guess the Coast Guard is doing an investigation to see if laws or regulations need to be changed. Is this really enough of a problem to, is this not just, well, man, if you're going to do that, good luck, but why are we spending all this money? Why are we having this huge investigation with the Coast Guard?
It ranks right up there with, there are too many people trying to get to Mars right now. I mean, it's not a problem right now. I could see where in the future, perhaps it could be a problem, but it's not right now. But by the time it becomes, more of an issue, I don't think there's going to be an issue because we'll be able to, traverse back and forth without any difficulty. I did see, kind of in a similar vein, I did see that they're starting to, there's a movement right now to try and crack down on Elon Musk's Starlink satellite capability because there's too many of them in the sky, they say. So I don't know, man. I mean, I look at it and think, regulating this stuff, there's got to be some assumption of the risk. If you know you're getting in a tin can that is going to go way beyond the norms of pressurized capability underwater, you assume some measure of risk there. And if it blows up on you, well, I hope you had insurance. That's kind of where it's at.
So that's the investigation? They're saying should those people have been allowed to go down?
I haven't read all the details on what the Coast Guard is considering, but whether they've got to put regulations on how these built, these submersibles are built or whatever. It's interesting to me that we've gotten to a place where something like this, that sucks. All right. Well, good luck if you're going to try that again.
Yeah. In Alabama, the law in Alabama, and we're somewhat unique among other states, we have a thing called contributory negligence. If you contribute to your own issues, your own damages, even an iota, it can bar you from any recovery. And you can also call that assumption of the risk. But I just look at this and go, you know what? Like I said, you got into that tin can. Good luck.
I could understand if, Tesla decided to start building personal submarines or something. And okay, now we need to look at this. But
yeah,
it's just crazy. Why are we spending? I mean, the amount of money to go out. I've sailed right past the Titanic, and it's way out there. That's got to be really expensive to do this.
It's one of those first world problems that apparently we decided we have. And so we need to find a solution to go with our alleged first world problems. But anyway.
And that guy was warned many, many times. Yeah. Many times that wasn't safe.
And people were paying big money to get in that can and go low. That's all it'd be. Anyway, assumption of the risk. All right, you guys. Okay. Love you both. We'll talk to you again soon. Butters and Lee. All right, coming up next, hour number 3. We'll be right back.